Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
We cut the Kit Kat a-hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Astrocast for the week of April 23rd, 2012. I'm your host, Zach, and this week we have Joe.
Lift things up and put things down.
And Chris.
The Hopper.
Shut up.
It's on the Hopper.
It's a Hopper.
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 I think they're a little bit, like things like that came out, like, years ago already, like Roku Box and stuff. Or is it just, like, a DVR?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like a, it's an amalgamation.
Whatever. It's weird. So, I think we got a pretty good show, as usual. We got, I know I got a couple things to talk about, show and tell. We got a bunch of news. So why don't we get right to it. Joe, what are you watching?
Well, it's funny you should mention what I've been watching, because I've been watching a few questionable things. Chris and I will go into this a little bit more, I'm sure, but I saw a 1980s classic, and by classic I mean a movie that probably few people have heard of, and even fewer have enjoyed, called Thrashin', starring one Josh Brolin, who... apparently has just always been 50,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, interesting. I guess we'll talk about that when Chris goes. But in addition to that, I also watched The 7-Year Itch, the Marilyn Monroe classic.
Mm-hmm.
Restored in beautiful high definition and technicolor. It is an interesting movie. Chris raised the point. While we were watching it, that basically, like, whoever came up with Mad Men was watching this movie and was like, hey, what if this guy wasn't such a fucking pussy? And, like, what if he just seized the vagina, as it were, and, you know, did all those lovely things that we love Don Draper so much for? And, boom, Mad Men. And 7-Year Itch, I don't know, it's kind of risque for its... time. I mean, but at the same time, it's kind of not. But, like, you have to understand, like, Marilyn Monroe getting the steam or whatever from the subway to, like, blow up her cooch is kind of like the modern day equivalent of, like, filming a bukkake and putting it in, like, a Wiggles movie. So it's a little bit, I don't know, it's a little hardcore for 1960 or 50 whatever. But overall, I thought it was a pretty interesting movie. There, it's chock full of stereotypes and naive blondes and passive-aggressive middle-aged men with questionable erections. additionally, UFC 145 was this past Saturday, even though it feels like it was 10 years ago. Overall, it was a pretty mediocre card, I thought. Nothing too spectacular. I thought the Rashad Evans, John Bones Jones fight went exactly how everyone and their mother knew it was going to go. John Jones is basically Gumby when you stop and think about it. You know, it's just going to be incredibly hard for anyone in that weight class to really put up a strong showing against him. I mean, we'll see how Dan Henderson does against him because, as we all know, or anyone who follows MMA knows, Dan Henderson has that signature H-bomb, and all he has to do is catch you with it, and that's the end of your night. But I really think he's going to have a very terrible time trying to even get close to John Jones. So, you know, pretty awful showing by Rashad Evans, but you know what? I have a feeling like this is one of those adrenaline dump situations because it was such a huge fight, et cetera, but... you know, can't make excuses at that level, I guess. Moving right along, I saw, again, Tangled. not much to talk about. I believe I actually talked about it on one of the earlier podcasts. So
yep.
If you feel like digging that up, go right ahead. But it lived up to the first time. I thought it was just as good. You know, even though you kind of know what's coming and whatnot. It was nice. So there you go. You haven't seen it
yet?
It's most good.
It's most good.
It's most good. It's actually quite charming. So if that's the direction that, you know, Disney plans on continuing to go with their animated films, then by all means, I'm open to it. And then last but certainly not least, other than Mad Men, which was, I believe, my favorite episode yet from this past week. If no one else
saw it. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, holy shit. Like, there's when you find out that it's being told, like, out of sequence, I was like, whoa. What mind fuckery have we here?
It's like Run, Willow, Run or something.
Yeah, man. And Roger Sterling on LSD is just like, goddamn, like that was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably one of the most thoroughly entertaining sequences in the history of that show. Other than Don, like, fucking drapering his wife, which is pretty great. It's just like going out for milk in the middle of the night and never coming back. So, good shit. So then last but not least, I saw African Cats. arguably starring a collection of African jungle cats, but narrated by one Samuel L. Jackson, who, by the way, is an iPhone commercial now. I don't know if you guys have
seen
it.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's basically him just like fucking running pimp game on his Siri, which is pretty awesome. I mean, I would really like to see a parody of that, or like an uncensored version of that, where it's like, Siri, what's for dinner, motherfucker? She's like, Sam, I hate when you yell at me. Shut up, bitch. So African cats. Not really much to talk about, because it's just fucking, you know, cats being cats. It's like lions and shit.
It's really weird that they like, because they give them like names and stuff, and it's like, you're supposed to like pretend they're characters.
Yeah, like, I had no emotional investment whatsoever.
Like
the fucking...
I remember
the
Yeah, I was...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I remember the one part I walked into when we had it at the theater was... They were talking about, like, this, like, lion named Scar, I think. Who's, like, wandered off and never came back.
Oh, Fang.
Fang,
yeah,
yes.
Why do I know that? Yeah, Fang. He... Poor Fang. The jungle's got him now.
Yep.
I don't know where Fang went.
That was like the end, like when you were like the end, like the wrap up at the end of like showing like telling like where all the cats were now. It's like Fang
like
never came back.
This movie had the wrap up of like a stereotypical like 80s
yes,
sports movie.
It was Animal House basically with cats.
Yeah, where it's just like they went on to do nothing, or like this cat went on to die. but yeah, like there's just no emotional investment in it for me, mainly because they're fucking like lionesses. Like, I don't give a fuck about these animals. You know what they'd do to me or, like, a baby if you were alone in a room with them? Like, fuck them. They're monsters. I don't care about them. You know, like, maybe if it was, like, a little one and it was, like, in my lap.
Yeah.
And I was, like, petting it or something, I'd be like, oh, man, I don't want anything to happen to this cute little lioness. But guess what? When that bitch turns 8 months old, it's going to fucking eat you and everyone you love. So fuck them. Fuck them hard.
Unless it's that one from that YouTube video.
Oh, Christian the Lion? Yeah. Christian's my boy. Christian's proof that fucking... I don't know. Christian's living proof of Disney magic. That's what that is.
Yes.
I'll tell you what. But, yeah, like, when they're trying to say, like, oh, yeah, I forget the main, like, lioness's name, and if you know it, I'm going to be kind of amused. But anyway, the main lioness, they're like, oh, yeah, she's old, and she was, like, donkey punched by a zebra, and, like... Now she walks all fucked up, and I was like, good, she's fucking dead. Leave her. They're like, yeah, the rest of the pack will leave her now. She has to make a decision. I'm like,
yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure she's just got to like get comfortable and die. And it's like, oh, my God, she's following them. I'm like, you know there has to be a cameraman, like, off, out of shot. Just, like, prodding it with a cattle prod.
Yes.
Like, move, you fucking lion. Come on, this isn't compelling. You can't just lay there and die. There's no quit in Disney.
Disney paid big bucks for this.
You want to be a star, don't you? So, yeah, that's pretty much what I watched. There's some other random shit here and there. I purchased Planet Earth and Life as the Amazon Earth Day deal of the day. I feel that those are excellent documentaries and for the price.
Probably better than African Cats because they just like show you things, not try to like create a story around them.
Well, yeah, true. There's a little bit of that though. I got the David Attenborough narrated ones.
Of course, you have to get that version.
Oh yeah. See, the thing is, like, I don't know. I tried to watch an episode of Life when it was first on like Discovery Channel or whatever. Well, not first on Discovery Channel, when it was originally aired on Discovery Channel after the BBC had done it, for all you fucking like documentary noobs that are like, oh, he's on BBC first. Oprah just takes too much away from it.
Yeah.
She's like, the frog is so proud. The proud frog. Frog. And it's like, I'm very aware that it's Oprah like speaking to me.
Yeah.
But this guy, he sounds sort of like a British Winnie the Pooh, so it works out really, really well for me. So I'm like, oh, this guy's like smart, but he's not that smart because he sounds kind of like Pooh Bear. But like Pooh Bear if he were at a pub or something.
Well, isn't he played John Hammond, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So it's like everything's Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Pretty much. Good shit though. Good shit. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you one thing. The bottom of the ocean scares the shit out of me.
There's some crazy stuff out there.
There's some, you know what? They didn't show Cthulhu, but I'm pretty sure he's down there.
I wonder if James Cameron saw him when he was at the bottom of the ocean last week.
Fuck James Cameron, okay? I've got no patience for him.
And now he's gonna go like, he's like, they want to like mine asteroids.
Yeah, go to space, James. Nobody fucking wants you down here.
Are they gonna get like oil workers to drill the asteroids?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I hope so.
Where have I seen this before?
All I know is Clint Eastwood better turn off his goddamn cell phone. You know? Clint, we need you. You need to fulfill your destiny and become a space cowboy. That was a goddamn movie.
They probably shouldn't hire Steve Buscemi and put guns on the shit things too.
Yeah.
Because you don't really need machine guns when you're on a asteroid.
Yeah, and also the fact that a bullet wouldn't do anything in space, but whatever. Don't try to give these people science.
Yeah. It's in the Criterion Collection, doesn't it? It has to answer to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
So, Chris, what are you watching?
Well, like Joe said, Thrashing and the Seven-Year Itch. But Thrashing, we discovered it's a movie about, like, what it is to be like a rich white person. Like for all intents and purposes, the protagonist should not be the protagonist. It's about these like rich, like well-to-do, like valley skateboarders that challenge a like lower class punk group of skateboarders.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, as soon as we realize that, we're like, wait a minute. So these, like, privileged kids that, like, live in clean neighborhoods and, like, have loving parents are the heroes who are, like, challenging, like, these orphans to, like, well, not, like, orphans, but they're blatantly, like, not well taken care of and, like, have made bad choices in life.
They're yuppie youth. It's basically all right, Jebediah, go out into the world now. Your father and I are going to go cultivate some green.
It's kind of like, the Josh Brolin, like his you don't meet his family, but they give him like money, like good luck, like go win the skating competition.
The movie literally starts with his mom, like you just see a note from his mom that's like a crumpled up $10 bill, and it says like go get him or like have fun skateboarding all summer while I'm out like on a fucking like Cox Across the Nation tour or like whatever she's doing. It's really quite bizarre.
Yeah, and like, that's all we understood of Josh Ball's character. But then he goes to, like, L.A. to compete in a downhill jam, which they call, like, the death race or something.
I wasn't even that, like...
Oh, like, no, it was, like, the downhill massacre. It was like, really, really 80s. If you had to describe a skateboarding competition, it'd probably be, like, a downhill jam. But instead, it'd be, like, you know...
They could have just called it, like, you know, downhill track.
Right.
But that wouldn't have been as exciting.
They had to make it, like, a rad twist to it, so just, like, massacre!
It's like, whoa, this might get kind of fast. Let's just, let's not worry about it.
The great part about this movie is it has a lot of cameos from, like, a lot of rising stars from, like, the skateboarding realm.
Yeah, man. And then I picked out Rodney Mullen, like, which is kind of impressive and reveals my nerd hand, because, like, I was super, super into skateboarding for a while. I was like, dude, that's Rodney Mullen, Rodney Mullen, and I wouldn't shut up about it. And my friend James was watching with us, was like, yeah, that's Rodney Mullen as himself. I was like, I fucking told you, bro. Like, Chris was like, no one doubted you. Like, shut up.
Like, the only one I could pick out was Tony Hawk. I was like, yeah, that's Tony.
Yeah, but he also had that, like, Duran Duran haircut back then, so, like, it was really easy. He also looked like a fucking malnourished scarecrow. And I love Tony Hawk. I'm just fucking, you know, calling a spade here. He looked sickly.
So, yeah, the, and for, like, no apparent reason, Red Hot Chili Peppers is in this thing. Like, as a cameo, like, band that's in this, like, shit, like, I don't know. Was it a house party? Was it a venue? I couldn't
They were
tell
at some
story.
Sort of weird, like, club. Remember, they go to that, like, it's like a junkyard rave, and mm-hmm. the guy's like, hey, are you holding? And the kid's like, no way, bro. And he's got, like, he's got, like, little nibs of alcohol, like, concealed all throughout his person. He's got, like, a little, like, airplane thing of, like, of, like, vodka under his hat, and then, like, in his armpit, and, like, in his pants. Like, it's so weird. I'm like, okay, no one goes that far out of their way for 3 ounces of booze.
I mean, I don't think I couldn't tell if this movie was, like, geared towards, like, teenagers or adults. Because it was, like, a bunch of, like, weird things they talked about. Like, there was
romance. It seems like a weird, like, propaganda film for adults. Where it's, like, yeah, the horrors, like, of the skateboard. Your daughters will turn to sluts and your sons to vaginas.
So it's, like, Reefer Madness?
Kind of, but it's, like... Like, goddamn, the final battle is just, like...
The second to final battle? With
the second to final battle, I guess, technically. Yeah.
It's like, it shows you the gritty, like, underbelly of the skateboarding competition world, where if they challenge, like, a skateboard duel, it's like they skateboard with, like, boxing gloves, like, taped to sticks, and they try to flail each other with them.
It's supposed to look like a mace, like a medieval mace, mm-hmm. but it's literally, like, a nunchuck with a boxing glove on the end of it.
Is it like the Gladiator's pugil sticks?
No, Works. No, those might be able to hurt you if you hit someone hard enough with it. This is just like, it looks like a rejected Nerf toy. Like, it's really quite pathetic.
I'm not even sure it's even a Nerf. Like,
no, I'm
like, not even, like, yeah, not even a prototype.
It looks like too retarded to be something Nerf would release. And this is Nerf in the late 80s, early 90s we're talking about, where if it was, like, purple and yellow, they'd be like, fuck it, release it. Kids will buy it.
So
I'm sure they'll love it.
If you soak it in water and it turns into, like, a boulder, sure.
Hell yeah.
You can get some concussion with it.
So I think pretty much it's a...
I was going to say, I think the most important question is, how does this compare to Rad?
Oh, it blows Rad out of the water. Come on.
Like, it was very... Rad was, like, it has a bunch of weird points to it, like, with the whole, like, dance with the bicycles and send me an angel
yes.
thing. That's the thing. That's the only soundtrack song I remember from Red was Send Me an Angel. This had no, like, known.
It had Wild in the Streets by the Circle Jerks. Come on. That's like a skateboarding anthem.
Was that like the chase scene when I was
yeah.
playing? Okay.
And it was hardly a chase. By the way, the inciting action of this movie is the rival gang skateboards by, like, the Valley gang that Josh Brolin is in while they're at a red light in a car, and they literally just, like, bang on the car a few times. And it's not even that malicious. But, like, that incites, like, a gang war between
oh, yeah, that
rival skateboarding factions.
It's like, hey, you touched my car when I was in traffic. Fuck you.
Vendetta, bro. I'm gonna fuck your sister.
And he does. Yeah, Josh Brolin falls in love with, like, the rival, like, leader's sister. Who, like, the rival's this, like, weird punk dude. And his sister's, like, a preppy girl. Like, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, they were raised. Like, one child was left outdoors for a while. The other child was, like, cuddled and cared for.
Does the evil guy have blonde hair?
No, he's
not. No, you would think.
Yeah, it's what I mean. Like, you think... Everything about this movie, it's like you should rally on the rival, the antagonist, because it's like his life's shit. He's to take care of his sister. He's poor, and like, and the protagonist is like this rich white blonde Josh Brolin who, like, his life's so easy that he can just, like, fuck around the whole summer skateboarding yeah. with his friends.
it's reversed. It's a little bit weird, but
so it's basically.
I mean,
so it's like a warrior's heart with skateboarding.
A little bit, but it's
a little bit, yeah.
It's literally like one of the funniest things I've ever seen in a movie is when the like bad gang leader in this movie is like he's putting makeup on.
Oh my god!
For like the final battle with like skateboard boxing glove nunchucks. And he's literally just putting blue makeup on around his eyes. And his sister's, like, helping him do it. I'm like, this is, like, a sexual orientation crisis. This isn't, like, intimidating anyone. This is a grown man, like, putting blue makeup on his eyes and, like, laughing to himself, like, yeah, I'm gonna look so red. Like, I'm gonna fucking scare people so bad, you'll see. And she's just like, yep, you're doing it. Can't stop you now. Would not listen.
But Thrashing is a good movie for, like, when you really need to see a nostalgic movie. If you want to prove to the world that Josh Brolin doesn't age. And
no,
like,
he's fucking Benjamin Button. That's what this proves.
Mm-hmm.
He's goddamn Benjamin Button.
Every scene, it looks like... It's like... He looks older than like the female cast. Like it's really weird to see like him have a sex scene. That happens in this movie. There's a really awkward sex scene that takes place inside an RV.
Oh god, that was so bizarre. And like you don't see dong, thank god, but like it's implied.
And then like a few minutes later, like the brother, the antagonist, shows up and he's like, "What the hell did you do to my sister?" It's like, oh man.
He's like, "I ruined her, sir. Good day."
That's what I'm saying, like, everything about this, it shouldn't be, like, you would root for the antagonist, because it's like, fuck this dude, he, like, he had sex with my sister, he like, pissed off my gang, fuck you, like, I'm gonna skateboard against you. But, yeah, and then, like, the second movie me and Joe watched was The 7-Year Itch, which, man, if you want to see a template for, like, how not to do a Madman episode, just, like, have a guy... who is always, like, in a situation with a cute girl, and he just manages to, like, not get any sex. Like, I get the idea about this movie. It's a dated movie, because the title comes from some doctor character's theory that after 7 years, like...
Fictional doctor, like, in the movie.
Yeah, he concludes that after 7 years of marriage, you just have to get, like, other vagina, like it's acceptable. Like, the weird thing is, everyone in this movie is okay with him like having an affair. It's like, oh, you want to like bang another chick?
Oh, he's got the old 7-year itch, eh? It's like, why does everyone know this obscure doctor's theory? And why is everyone so like widely accepting of my urge to like be unfaithful to my wife, who, by the way, is gone for the summer raising my child by herself
in Maine?
Yeah, she just like goes to Maine for the summer with their like 8-year-old or 7-year-old son. It's like, come on, Billy, we're going to Maine for the summer. Let's leave your father alone. It's like, that's a separation. Like, that's fucking divorce. That's not a goddamn.
I guess in the 50s, that's what they did. All these women just leave, come to the state, and just like.
That's how marriages lasted as long as they did. It's like, here, we just need to leave this motherfucker for like 3 months, and we'll come back.
Yeah, that, I mean. I understand this is based on, like, a novel and a stage play, and that kind of makes sense if you don't want to hire so many cast members, but, like, in a movie, it's kind of like you just have to suspend that belief that, like, New York is just absent of women, and those women left behind are just floozies. They implied that in, like, the first 5 minutes of the movie, because it's, like, they show you historically, like, women just go on a giant trip, like, a giant horde of women and children, and all the men are left behind. I'm not even kidding. They show this by using Indians. I thought we were watching the wrong movie.
Yeah, it was really awkward, to say the least.
It's so, like,
behold, the Indians, and it's like, white guys. I'm like, what?
And they're like, these savages knew better, too. It's like, oh my god, this movie's so political.
Behold, these abominations of man. I'm like, whoa, what are we talking about?
And then, you know, just to watch this movie, and then just, it appreciates how as a culture we evolve and how, like, we still enjoy shit movies. Like, for all intents and purposes, The 7-Year Itch is nothing like... it's not a masterpiece, but people treat it like it is, which I don't understand, you know?
Well, it's still a pretty cool movie. It's just not like, I don't know. Like, it didn't, like, bring a tear to my eye or make me, like, think about my own life.
Right. But it was nothing memorable, memorable except for, like, that whole, like, vent scene, which is, like, a minute. Like, that scene, maybe less than a minute, the whole, like, air pushing up her vagina.
Right, right. It's not as iconic as people make it out to be. Like, it's a decent movie, I thought, but it's just like, this, you know what? You don't need a Criterion this one anytime soon.
I thought, like, oh, I was going to learn something about myself, but it just turns out, like, huh.
You were
it's
wrong.
Really, yeah, it's, like, it's really easy to have an affair back in the 50s, like.
Yeah, it was.
That, and you can just knock out anyone with one punch, or just have, like, weird 50s fantasies. Like, there were so many things that I, like, because we're not raised in that decade, they were so, like, confusing what they did. Like, people having sinks in their offices, their secretaries just, like, throwing themselves at them. Your landlord / like handyman can just like enter your apartment anytime he feels like it.
Super ethnic.
I'm not sure what ethnicity was. Super ethnic. He's supposed to be Italian, or
he was like Slavic and Italian and like Polish and Russian. Like it was basically just like anything and everything that was from Europe that wasn't like American and wasn't like of the Orient. Like, that's basically what it was.
Did he have, a greasy comb-over?
Oh, yeah. So greasy.
Yeah, comb-over and a mustache. And then in one scene, he was wearing a suit. And then in the next scene, he's not. He's, like, back to wearing a wife beater, smoking a cigar. I was like, wow. Was this, like, what people were like back then? Like, this is awesome.
It was rough. So,
yeah, very nostalgic. It's just, we had a big nostalgia going from the 80s to the 50s. So.
Just drink a lot of scotch.
It was a good time. No, but a lot of beer.
No, wait, he drank like old fashioned cocktails, like a lot of sugar, a lot of like juices, and like a half a shot of alcohol.
Yeah, yeah. We were actually talking about that while it happened. I was like, see, back in the 60s or like in the late 50s, it was like an art form to make a cocktail. They'd be like, yes, it looks like a fucking painting. Like, it looks beautiful. Here's the seltzer. Here's the cherries. Here's the syrup. I'm going to stir it, add sugar, shake it up. Now put it up my ass and do all this, like, weird stuff to it. And here's the tiniest little droplet of alcohol. Like, they put, like, if they put one full shot into a drink, it was a lot. They're like, oh, my God, Steven, you've got a problem. You know? So it wasn't all, like, Mad Men.
They're just advertising.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like when we're watching this, Joe turns to me and is like, you can have like seven of these and like pick up your child after school. It's like, that's probably what they did. Like some mom is sitting there having seven cocktails and like, oh, 3 o'clock, better pick up Johnny from school and like drive.
Oh, just had my eighth martini, time for lunch. Like, whoa, 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 whoa.
So maybe, like, I don't know who, like, again, it's like the opposite of the Mad Men writers. They saw this, went, fuck that, and like just upped the ante of the alcohol.
This guy sucks.
He's gonna drive drunk all the time. He's gonna punch people out. He's gonna sleep with chicks, drink scotch straight up.
No ice.
Yep.
Then I finish my whole week off with Iron Man 2 just to catch up on the whole, you know, get ready for Avengers thing.
Or as it was called in Sweden, Mickey Rourke raises a bird.
Check out his cockatoo.
There's so many
favorite cockatoo. I give it Cheerio every morning.
There's so many questions that just like pop in my head to like try to figure out why this movie is so complicated. Like, if Tony knows his heart, the reason why he needs his little mini arc reactor in his chest is because he's trying to keep a little piece of metal out of his heart.
Yeah.
He's, like, a trillionaire. Why doesn't he just get a new heart? Why doesn't he invent a new heart? Like, he fucking invented an element, but he can't, like, make an organ?
Dick Cheney has a fake heart in real life. Iron Man doesn't work.
Yeah.
That just negates, like, everything.
Chris, I think it's because if they tried to remove the metal, it would destroy his arteries or something, so...
Whatever, nerd.
you know, but that's why you have a new heart. Because... your artery doesn't get threatened by a piece of... like, the best part is they don't even mention that anymore, like, in the second movie. They totally negate the fact that he has a piece... that's why he needs a piece in his chest, is to keep that piece of metal from going into his artery even further.
And also powers his suit, so...
No, freaking, Nicky Rourke did it.
Yeah.
And he didn't have to, like, put it in his chest. He just wore it on top of his, like, chest. And that's it. You don't have to, like, put it in you. So I was like, all right, well, it's like, you know, I thought the whole reason this movie's more complicated is because of that thing in his chest. So I was like, just figure that out. I don't know. But like, that's just the whole major plot hole that I can't see, like, anything else cascading around him. Him, like, dealing. I really would have seen an Iron Man 2 with him dealing with alcoholism. Like, that's what made Iron Man in the 80s, like, awesome, is because he was a raging alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And now they had to, like, explain that by calling it, like, you know, his blue blood syndrome poison thing.
Well, yeah, but he also gets fucked up at his own party and, like, destroys most of his house.
Yeah.
I think that's the extent of his alcoholism, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean,
like, I don't think they're going to delve too much more into it. Like, maybe the next one will pick up. He's like, oh, man, remember I went to rehab? Yeah, let's not show it, though.
He's fine now.
I mean, it's like, because he's, like, souped up as a, because his heart, like, I guess, like, the thing in his chest, like, he invents an element which, like, reverses his blood poisoning somehow, and then wouldn't that make him, like, more prone to partying, because now he's, like, healthier and, like, more, like, fuck everything, like, I'm invincible, ah! Like,
pretty much.
Yeah.
When that happened.
Siri, detoxify my kidneys. Detoxifying kidneys.
It's like, fuck yeah, I'm going to drink all this gasoline. It's like, sir, I don't recommend it. Like, ah, I got super organs now. Like,
I don't need your goddamn recommendation, nerd.
Shut up, Jarvis.
I'm Tony Stark.
You're not real.
I don't need you, Jarvis.
You're just a computer.
Jarvis, you're not real.
So,
your words hurt, Mr. Stark.
Why don't you go star in Priest 2?
Oh.
So, anything else, Chris, or that's it?
That's about it. Just getting ready for
ready.
Avengers weekend.
Next week.
Soon. Yeah, I gotta like somehow watch Thor again.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, it's like, well, Epix is doing like the you can watch all of them if you get Epix.
A unique Dish Network though.
Yeah, or something like that. I don't know.
Or you know, I could just like take off of work and try to watch all the. All of the movies and
Iron Man, Hulk, like, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America.
Oh, God.
I gotta imagine, like, the people who do that, like, who will you be sitting with? Like,
I don't, there's some movie theaters that are showing, like, all of them before.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Like, AMC's or something are doing it and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of AMC's are doing it where, like, you get locked in for 6 hours or something.
Yeah.
You get on Avengers lockdown.
You throw like 10 a.m. or something.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, that's a bit for me. What about you?
All right, so I guess I'll kick it off with I managed to watch another movie from my 20-film action pack.
What?
Full of classic movies like The Pandora Project.
Oh,
which is
boy.
The one I watched. So, stars Daniel Baldwin. Daniel Baldwin. Eric Galimiak, Tony Todd, and Richard Tyson, who is actually the bad guy from Kindergarten Cop.
Oh my God, really?
Yep.
Oh, so that's where he went.
I think this might have been before. I don't know. I'm gonna,
Yeah,
but he...
Good Lord.
So basically, like, the plot of this Pandora Project is that the CIA has this secret... like, weapons testing base in Africa, and it gets robbed by Colin Crisp and his gang of goons, and, like, they steal this Project Pandora, which is a neutron bomb, but it has, like, you can, like, set the distance that it goes off.
Wow, these guys must have seen the Captain America movie.
Yeah. So it's, like, they design it so, like, it kills people, but doesn't, like, destroy any, like, tanks or buildings and stuff. And you can so the thing about this one is that you can set like the distance that it goes off in, so you can do like 10 feet or like 30 miles. So they steal this, and then like he starts to go around like Rich Tyson starts like going around trying to like sell it to like this like Colombian drug lord and stuff, and then like Tony Todd pulls Daniel Baldwin out of retirement because he's like a special forces CIA agent. He's not really in retirement. They just like say like he's just like hanging out somewhere, and he's just like, hey, you want to come back
he's
in?
He's retards.
Tony Todd is like, hey, you want to come back and do this job for me? He's like, sure, whatever.
I guess.
Yeah. And I guess he and Richard Tyson used to, like, work together, and they, like, blew a bunch of, like, drug labs in South America the year before.
It's just what you do in South America.
Yeah.
It happens.
And then, meanwhile, you have, like, Erica Liniak, who is Daniel Baldwin's, like, fiance, and she, like, she's, like, this, like, reporter for some, like, Los Angeles news station. And it seems like, for, like, the first, like, hour of the movie, it seems like she's not, like, have anything to do with the plot. They just keep, like, randomly cutting back to her. And she's just, like yelling at her, like, gay assistant and stuff, and it's really weird. But then eventually, of course, she gets kidnapped by the bad guy. And then it's just, like, he keeps fucking with, like, Dale Ball, and, like, he, like, sends him to, like, fake, like, he says, like, oh, the bomb's in this horse track, go find it. And they get into, like, a fight there, and there's, like, a horrible shootout that happens, and, like, Dale Ball gets, like, knocked out for, like, 10 hours, so wake up and like Tony Todd's like, we gotta find this bomb. So it's just like, no one really has any urgency of like fighting this thing. Everyone's just like sort of like walking, just like chilling it out, and even like because there's a timer at the horse track that's like counting down to like, and the bad guy's like, when it gets to zero, like 30 miles are gonna get blown up, and then like so. It's like they have like a minute left, and like no one, everyone's just like hanging out, drinking coffee. You're like, so what happens when it goes down to like when the clock stops, and like everyone's just like shaking their heads. They're like, I don't know. And then I just like,
so there's like no threat because it's like, oh, we have this bomb. It's like, cool.
We're all gonna die, I guess. I guess we're gonna die now. So I'm just gonna drink my coffee. So it was, I don't know. It was. I think it was pretty much what I expected it to be, which was extremely cheesy, extremely bad action movie. Actually, and the poster is kind of misleading too. It's got like freaking like jets on it and stuff, and you think it's like, oh, Pandora Project. It must be like a secret jet fighter or something. But it's just like this like little ball bomb thing.
Does it even like go off at one point or anything to show like the power?
It goes off all the time.
Oh.
they use it to kill like two people at a time. Richard Tyson takes it and like he sneaks it into like this congresswoman's house to like murder her. And so he just sets it up so like it just goes off inside the house and like kills like five people.
So it's pretty much the equivalent of like a house fire.
Yeah, but it's like blue energy and then like everyone's dead.
Oh.
Which I guess it's like, man. I guess it's like radiation or something, but.
Man, okay, you paid how much money for these 20 movies again?
$13.
Okay. Wow, not even like a round number. That's just like 13.
Yeah, it's $12.99.
Jesus Christ. Each movie was like less than a dollar.
Mm-hmm. I got like 7 for free. I gotta say, the best one so far is Airborne. That I've watched.
Is that the one with
Steve Guttenberg and Sean Bean?
Yeah. I kind of want to pick up this value pack too.
It might. They have a horror one too.
Oh god.
A 20 film horror pack.
You saw the one I bought, right? The Trucker Film Collection, Zach. Were you around for that one?
Trucker Film Collection.
I bought. It's like 5 Trucker movies for like.
Oh no! I didn't see that.
Five. Oh my god! I bought that. It was like.
It was like Convoy in it.
No, there's like this unknown Burt Reynolds movie in it.
Oh, God.
No, not Burt Reynolds, Tom Selleck. It's like nice. Young Tom
Selleck. Same thing.
Black Dog, was that in there?
Nope. Yes. Oh, God damn, what a movie.
That's a commentary we have to do, Black Dog.
Yes. That should be our first drunk commentary, where you drink every time they say the word Black. Load.
Oh, my God. Would you do like a drunk commentary or something like that? Like called the drinking game commentary?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Drink along with us.
Behind the wheel. Just kidding.
Jump into your big rig.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully I'm going to keep moving along with this, try to get through these 20 movies. I got two more to watch on disc one. There's 4 discs.
Well, best of luck to you, sir.
But, like, I think
you're fighting the good fight.
Next one I think is Disaster Zone, Volcano New York, which stars Detective Hoffman and Michael Ironside.
Yes.
I think that might have been an Asylum movie. It was definitely made for sci-fi. I don't know if the Asylum actually made it, but it was definitely a sci-fi original movie. So anyway, so moving on from that, I caught up on a couple movies that were actually in theaters right now. I watched Lockout, which is Guy Pearce, like Escape from New York plus Taken plus Con Air plus Die Hard plus any other action movie you can possibly think of. And that movie was basically exactly what I expected it to be, which was a super fun B action movie. That it, like, if it had been made in the 80s, it would have been like John Carpenter and Kurt Russell doing it.
Cool.
And
it'd probably been like worse. It was like the 80s in space, like can you imagine like a space station in the 80s?
I mean, probably would have been the same. Like, it wasn't too crazy, like set wise. It's like what you met, like just like metal corridors with like giant like mechanical doors and stuff.
Man, the future does not have innovation.
Yeah, actually, I think it takes place in like 2069 or 2070, somewhere around there. And it's like all, it's like Washington, D.C. is like completely like urban. There's like no natural grass or anything anywhere. It's just like, it's all just like hangars and missile silos and stuff. And so Guy Pearce is Snow. He's like a former CIA agent who has to like, he gets recruited to, anyway, he gets arrested first because like they think he like murdered another CIA agent or something, and he gets set up. So they tell him like, well, if you go on this mission to rescue the president's daughter on the space station, we'll clear your record.
Hmm.
So then, yeah, so he goes and then like gets into all sorts of shenanigans on the space station.
Shenanigans.
And then you also have for like other cast, you have like Lenny James and Peter Stormare is like the two like guys in charge, and they're sort of like good cop, bad cop. Like Peter Stormare just like constantly yelling at Guy Pearce, and like Lenny James is like his buddy trying to help him. And then you have Meg Grace, who's just like she's in this like weird thing of like she's always being kidnapped now, in like every single movie.
What movie she was in?
Taken.
Oh, okay.
The daughter Taken.
Wow. She's always in trouble.
I think she was getting.
Someone keep an eye on that bitch.
I think she was getting kidnapped a lot and Lost too. Maybe. She was always getting in trouble and Lost. It was like wandering off somewhere and getting attacked by people. And then, the one thing I was I was wondering, it was like they got like this like Scottish bad guy for like is he sort of like the head inmate, and it's really like you can't help but like think that they should have got like Gerard Butler to do it, because the guy they got is basically the poor man's Gerard Butler. Like they basically like the same like face, it's like almost like the exact same face and like body type and like voice.
Did he say this is like space station or something?
Yeah, it's an orbiting space prison.
No, but did he scream it like, this is a space station, ah!
No, he just, like, yelled at his, like, psychotic little brother the entire movie. Was, like, constantly murdering people. At, like the worst possible times, just, like, murdering hostages and stuff.
Cool.
But yeah, it was really fun. There was, like, a lot of, like, awesome action sequences. There's, like, a... When Snow first gets to the station, like the awesome part, they actually put it online before the movie came out, but it's like he has to like jump across this like zero gravity like tunnel thing to like get to like make his way to like where the president's daughter is. And so then he gets like a zero G fight with one of the inmates who like snuck up behind him.
Oh, is there a reason why he can't just like get a space station, like a spaceship next to it? Like I figure it would be like a really complicated way for him to get onto the station.
The inmates like took one of the engineers hostage and like forced him to like turn the automatic guns on.
Figures.
And actually, there's like a mini like Star Wars sequence like toward like the end where like it's like, I think it's like the Marines, actually, like the Marines, but they have like spaceships, and they're like trying to like launch an assault on the space station. So they have like, Star Wars, it's like Star Wars spaceships, like, it's like they're attacking like a Death Star, kind of, for just like going in, like trying to like blow up all these like gun turrets and stuff. But I would say, yeah, I don't know, it's probably not going to be in theaters for a lot longer, because it's not doing very well in theaters, but I would say definitely check it out on DVD when it comes out.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I wasn't going to see it in theaters, but, like, I'll definitely, like, see it on Netflix or Redbox or something like that.
Yeah, like, that, like if you're like, as well-versed in action movies as we are, like, you'll definitely, like, see, like, all the stuff coming, sort of, like, all the plot twists and everything. But it's still fun. Like, just because it's in space, it's like a little bit more fun, because, like, people can get sucked out into space at any moment and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and the only other thing I would say is, like, I wished it was rated R, because it's actually rated PG-13. So,
what?
Yeah, I thought it was rated R going into it. I was like, okay. But then, so it's, like, weird. There's, like, not a lot of, like, it's weirdly like, bloodless. Like, especially, like, one guy gets his head blown off by an explosive, but you don't see it. So I think that might
be a phenomenon.
I think that might be the only thing to like add to it a little bit would be like some hilariously over the top violence.
I'd probably wait for the unrated edition or something.
That would be, yeah, if they made it unrated, that would be awesome. So I watched that, and I also watched Cabin in the Woods.
Oh Lord.
Which I don't, do you guys care about spoilers? Because I don't think I can actually talk about
it. I already know.
I know it too.
You know exactly, you know everything that happened?
Sure do.
Okay. So I'm just gonna say spoilers for everyone listening because you want to go watch Cabin in the Woods, but I'm because really it's you can't really talk about the plot about it without spoiling everything about it. But I thought it was actually really fun. Like if you're a horror fan, it's definitely you have to check it out just because it basically references like every horror movie made in the last 20 years or 30 years, especially at the end where just like so you guys heard about what happened like. What's going on with it and everything. Yeah, so basically, like, at the end of this movie, it's, like, every horror monster and creature you can possibly imagine just gets unleashed in this, like, facility. So it's, like, werewolves and, like, giant bat. Like, there's a giant bat. There's, like, ghosts. There's the girl from The Ring. There's the...
Wait, it's actually the girl from The Ring?
I mean, it's... But like as close as they could get without actually licensing the actual things. But there's, like... Instead of Pinhead, there's Sawhead.
What?
So he's got like saws, and he has like he's got a puzzle box. There's zombies. There's really like disgusting merman that comes out and like when he eats people, like blood squirts out his blood like his blowhole.
blowhole.
There's killer robots. There's giant spiders. There's giant snake.
Nice, man.
It's like I think it's worth like the movie's worth the price of admission just to see like the ending of just like all these monsters getting unleashed.
Yeah, that's definitely a Blu-ray for me. It's definitely something I want to see though. Like I'm not taking anything away from it because it sounds pretty fun.
And it's just like
if nothing else.
It's also like so ridiculously bloody. there's like they cut back to the room where like the monsters get unleashed because like. The whole thing is like there's this facility under the cabin, where it's not the government. It's just like but it's like this weird like organization that is they're trying to appease these god like these ancient gods who are under the like even lower under the cabin. They're like trapped. They keep them like below the facility, and it's like they're like near the center of the earth, I guess, or something. And they have to like make sacrifices to these gods to keep them from like coming out of the earth and destroying the earth. So that's why they get like these kids to come to the cabin and then they run like they basically create horror movies to like appease these gods and like give them blood sacrifices.
That's cool.
And then there's also so there's like facilities all over the earth like over the world too. So like Japan has a facility and like Spain has a facility and like England has a facility and stuff. So Japan is the one, like, you get to see, like, a little bit of it, the Japan project, where, like, they unleash, like, the girl from the ring, basically the girl from the ring, in, like, this classroom full of, like, 9-year-old schoolgirls, to, like, divert the schoolgirls and, like, make them the sacrifice.
Like, does every facility have to, like, secede for in order for the gods to like
just
not
just
come?
One has to secede, but that's the whole. That's sort of the when it gets to the end of the movie, it's like America's the only one left that has like a can have like a successful scenario.
Wait. So like Japan fucks up. Like it's easy to kill. Like,
no, they show like the little girls like fuck her up or something. Like
it's super hilarious because they do like this like really like they sing like this like super cutesy like ritual song and like turn into a frog. And she's like Noriko's
oh Japan
and like one of the girls is like Noriko's spirit will live in this frog now, yay! And then like so the second best part is that of the movie besides like the crazy ending is that. The guys, like, basically running the facility are Richard Jenkins and Bradley Whitford. Okay, silence.
Okay, yeah, well, those are crickets you hear.
Richard Jenkins is the, you guys probably know him best as the dad from Step Brothers.
Right.
Oh, fuck, really?
Yep, and then Bradley Whitford was in Good Guys. He's also in Billy Madison, the bad guy from Billy Madison, West Wing.
Well, it's like, there's like no... like credit for the people who show up in this movie besides the main like six teenagers.
Yeah, well, I think they didn't want to spoil it because they're easily the best part of the entire movie. Like they're basically like they're in like an office space sort of movie because like they're just like it's like this facility has like they have like accounting department, they have like janitors, they have like everything like a major corporation would have. And just like having their businesses murdering teenagers.
Like, I imagine if no one spoiled it for me, I would probably be like, holy shit, this is an amazing movie. But it's kind of like, that's how you do it. That's how you do, like, a trailer. Like, when you don't show anything that has any of these things.
Yeah. Like, if you watch the trailer, you're sort of like, oh, is this, like, the government or something? Like, you have no idea how crazy it gets until the end. But yeah, so when the schoolgirls like defeat the ghost, Richard Jenkins, like they're like watching it live on the monitor, and Richard Jenkins just like runs over and goes like, "Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you!" He's just yelling at these like little 9-year-old schoolgirls. And then that's like half the movie is just like them and like it's like off like just like really like office humor. Like they're like it's like everything's like it's super mundane to them now just because they've done it so many times. So there's like. Like the entire like facility just like bets on like what monsters are gonna get unleashed by the kids, and they're just like they have like part they have like an office party when they like think they have like all the kids murdered.
Oh, God.
There's like some art they throw an Ario Speedwagon and just like start drinking tequila. And then the other half of the movie is like sort of this like typical horror movie with like the kids trying to survive like zombies for the first part and then. All the other monsters get unleashed eventually, but it's like so it's like typical like they're in the backwoods. There's like backwoods murderers trying to kill the kids. But
his name was Jason.
Well, it's like the redneck torture family, zombie redneck torture family.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Which is like they have like one of the awesome jokes is like they have like the board for like the betting, and they have like all of the crazy names on it. So it's like zombies, and it's like witches. Sexy witches, angry rape tree.
Oh, man, nice. Someone saw The Evil Dead.
Yeah, I mean, it references every movie you could every horror movie you could possibly think of. And then the other thing is, like, it's sort of like, it plays on, like, all the horror movie cliches, because, like, Bradley Whitford and Rich Jenkins are, like, manipulating the kids to become the stupid horror characters. Through, like, chemicals and, like, manipulating the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Like Chris Hemsworth is like, they turn him into like basically like the stupid like alpha male jock guy. But he starts out like he's like on a full academic scholarship to this college. He's like a sociology major. He's like super smart. They just drug the kid's beer and like start pumping in chemicals to make him stupid. And then like his girlfriend like is like the blonde chick and she dyed her hair blonde at the beginning of the movie, but then like this secret facility like sent someone out to like they put some chemicals in her like hair dye that would seep into her brain to make her stupider, so that would turn her into a dumb blonde.
That's pretty awesome. You think like all these like how do you carve these cliche characters out of these people, and like, oh, there's a secret society that does this.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's just, it's like a really awesome horror comedy. Especially the Richard Jenkins Bradley for stuff, but there's like going back and forth and like trying to like manipulate, I'm trying to think. There's like this one part where like they think they murdered all the kids and like they're about, and like the only girl that left is like the quote unquote virgin girl, because they need like a virgin. So like she's the only one left, and so like, and it's Bradley going like this speech of like, oh man, you know, I really hope she survives this time. She's like, she's got so much heart. And she's gone through so much. I mean, I hope she's right. And also, she's like, tequila is my lady. Because they brought tequila in. So he's just like, yeah. There's a lot of those jokes where, like, someone's, like, acting super serious. And all of a sudden, just yell something. So it's super fun. I would definitely say check it out, especially if you're a horror fan. It's like, you'll love all the references and everything. Alright, so that's pretty much all I've been watching. So why don't we get to news for the week, and there's quite a bit of it from last week and this week. So and we'll kick it off with trailers like we usually do. And first trailer that came out was a trailer for one of the upcoming After Dark Action offerings. It's a Stash House, which is the one starring Dolph Lundgren. And basically the premise is that Dolph Lundgren is the leader of this ruthless gang of drug dealers who hid their stash in the walls of this house. But the house just happens to be bought by this young couple who just bought it and are moving in. So it becomes like a sort of like home invasion movie where like Dolph Lundgren has goons break in, like tell like, yo, where the drugs? Give us the drugs.
It's really weird because isn't like Mother or something like that like the same thing, except they call their mother to help?
Yeah, I think also they hid money in the walls or something maybe. Instead of
in Mother,
yeah, or, I think in Mother they hid money.
Yeah,
Stash House is like there's like it's like the entire wall is just like cocaine or something or heroin.
Well, let's see what's easier to carry, bundles of drugs or paper money.
But yeah, I mean this is probably the After Dark Action I'm most interested in just because it's Dolph Lundgren.
Right, I mean. I don't know how they convinced him. Like, they probably kidnapped his daughter or something. Like,
well,
hey,
I mean,
Dolph, you're going to be in this movie.
Well, I mean, he's been doing direct-to-video stuff for a while, though, now. They've been actually, like, I would say Dolph Lundgren is actually probably the upper tier of direct-to-video, though, because it's been actually pretty fun. Like, Command Reformance.
Command Reformance is surprisingly good.
It was, now. It's cheesily awesome.
Yeah.
It's like Dolph Lundgren is like the rock. Basically, if John McClane was a drummer for a rock band, and then it's like...
What did he do again that he was qualified to shoot a gun?
I think just because he and his brother were, like, on the wrong side of the tracks when they were kids or something.
He had a brother?
Yeah, his brother got murdered. I think that was the plot. Like, when you get to, like, the learning about the history of Joe, his character... Like, he wasn't a cop or anything.
I forgot.
They were just, like, I think they were, like, in a gang or something, and his brother got killed.
You know, that part was so, like, insignificant. But, like, it's still, like, trying to, like, figure out why, you know?
I think I recall there was, like, a black and white flashback to something.
Oh. It's black and white, so it must be important.
Yeah. That was, like, the dramatic moment in between, like, Dolph Lundgren murdering a man with the power of rock.
Oh, man, he killed someone with an amp. He killed someone with a drumstick.
Yeah, stabbed him with a drumstick. He, like, played, like, basically killed the guy with rock and roll, like, just playing a note on a bass guitar. And, like, then, like, I think he shot himself, or, like, Dolph got a gun and shot him.
Well, it distracted him long enough for him to run up on stage and just, like, fuck him up.
Yeah. So that movie was awesome. I think, I can't remember, it was Icarus, was the other one, where he was, like, a hitman? That was pretty good, too.
Forgot that one.
There's also an Universal Soldier Regeneration, which the end was pretty badass. Especially the tracking shot where just like Van Damme just like mowing people down in that building.
Okay.
You don't remember like the end where it's just like it's the one shot, just like Van Damme, you follow Van Damme through the building and he's just like going through and just like shooting people.
Oh, like, he fucks everyone up. Like, it makes up for, like, half the movie being slow.
Yeah. We're just like, it's like him and his psychiatrist is in the cafe, just like talking about feelings.
Oh man, I still can't figure out why he attacked that guy.
The guy in the cafe.
Yeah, he just got up and kicked him.
I'm sorry, I cannot control my Universal Soldier feelings. I'm still learning to feel emotion.
Even though a movie or two ago he was fine and had a daughter.
Yeah.
And you know, Black Dynamite became not a computer. And he fought Black Dynamite and Goldberg.
Yes. Oh my God! What the hell? What was it? Wasn't that The Return?
Yep.
Yeah.
The Universal Soldier: The Return. Mm-hmm. Even though it was the third movie.
Well, the 2 and 3 don't count because they're not even in canon.
No.
It was they were made for TV or something. So yeah, so Stash House is gonna be out. I think they're all coming out May 11th or something. In the middle of May sometime, they're all coming out, I think, on video on demand. Still, we still gotta see the trailer for El Gringo, El Gringo. The
Gringo?
Yeah, the one with Christian Slater, where he goes to Mexico. I think it's the only trailer they haven't shown yet for the first 5 After Dark Action movies.
I was confused, El Gringo, that one, with Get the Gringo.
Get the Gringo, yeah.
So...
So yeah, so that is so that, you check that out on site. We also trailer came out this week for Lawless, which is the latest sort of depression prohibition crime movie. In the vein of Untouchables and Public Enemies and probably a bunch more that I can't remember it right now, but it stars Tom Hardy, Shia LaBeouf, Guy Pearce, Jessica Chastain, and Gary Oldman.
Jesus Christ. Again, which actors do not belong? You know,
Tom Hardy,
Shia LaBeouf. All right.
Maybe Tom Hardy is a Virginian, 30s American.
Maybe. I don't remember Tom Hardy having an American accent, so it's kind of hard.
Doesn't really. If you saw Warrior, we were trying to
I didn't see Warrior.
I think he was trying to do a Boston accent, maybe, or some sort of weird Northeast accent, and he was just you could clearly tell he was British. But I mean, so it's Shia LaBeouf, Tom Hardy, and also Jason Clarke, who I can't remember. I know he was in Death Race as the sort of Joan Allen's right hand guard. He's been in a bunch of stuff, but they're the Bond Durant brothers, who I guess were actually real life bootleggers in Virginia, who got pretty big, making quite a bit of money. So they get a federal agent has gets sent down to Virginia to try to figure out what's going on down there, and so the agent's Guy Pearce, who he looks like he's watched Val Kilmer and Tombstone a lot. And he's doing it's super he looks super weird. He's doing a super weird accent, and it looks like he has tuberculosis or something.
Oh great.
Or he's gonna call someone a Huckleberry at one point anytime.
And play poker?
Yeah.
Really slow.
And then
and twirl a cup?
Yes. Twirl a cup, yes. And then get into a duel with Michael Biehn. So, did you actually watch the show, Chris, or you just...
No, I'm listening to this first time.
Okay. It looks pretty good. Hopefully it's better than Public Enemies.
Man, Public Enemies, I actually had high hopes for that.
Trailer was so awesome. That first trailer came out.
And then when people saw it, they were oh yeah, it's nothing as action-y as it said it was.
Yeah.
It was more character-driven and very, slow.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Hopefully, because sort of in the South, hopefully they can, maybe take some inspiration from, Justified or something. But it's coming out in the end of August, this summer. So you can check it out then. And then last trailer came out today, or I don't know if it was today, but it came out earlier this week because CinemaCon is going on, which is like it's the movie exhibitors convention in Las Vegas where they show a bunch of like all like the movie theater owners, like a bunch of like previews of like what's coming up and stuff. So they show the new trailer for G.I. Joe Retaliation, new full trailer. And it still it still looks surprisingly awesome. Like, I can't believe I'm this excited for a G.I. Joe movie.
Man, I got spit in the face by the first G.I. Joe movie, but like any abusive relationships, I'm willing to give it a second chance.
Yeah.
Like,
The Rock's in it.
The Rock's in it. Like,
they probably killed Channing Tatum. Hopefully.
Like, you know, he wasn't the problem. I'll say that.
They show him in the beginning, and then they never show him again in the trailer. Like, they always show him in the beginning of the trailer, they blow up the base, and then they never show him again. So I'm hoping that they kill him. Then it would just be, like, The Rock and Snake Eyes and Bruce Willis murdering people. And actually, it looks like Snake Eyes is going to be like, off doing his own thing for most of the movie, just, like, fighting ninjas and stuff.
Man, which would be, if they're making like a TV show or something, but just let it be all Snake Eyes, not talking, you know, no dialogue, just him kicking ass.
Yeah, like what was that Adult Swim, like the
G.I. Joe Renegade?
No, it wasn't Renegade. It was let me see. Remember if I can.
Not Renegade.
Renegade is like the hub show, the new.
Not Renegade. Renegades. No, I'm sorry. Shit. Retaliation?
Resolute.
What an R word.
Yeah. Resolute was so awesome.
Yeah, Resolute was like what gave me hope for G.I. Joe in the future again. As after the live action movie, I'm just like, they can never, in my eyes, redeem. And then Resolute showed up, and I was like, holy shit, this is how you make a G.I. Joe movie.
Yeah, like, the first thing you see is like a Joe murdered. By like.
And like, yeah, like, there's like consequences, you know, for her actions.
Like, freaking Cobra Commander nukes, like, Moscow and blows up every single living person in Moscow. Because he makes that laser weapon that, like...
Oh, yeah, the weird, like, beam.
Yeah. I also love, like, they reference, like, the 80s show and basically say, like, Cobra Commander's just pretending to be an idiot the entire time. Like, he's actually just, like, super ruthless and, like, super efficient.
Well, when he's, like, put his mind to it, he's very competent. It's just, you know... I guess they couldn't show that in a kid's show, which is great, because in this, it's like, this makes sense as a Cobra Commander.
Yeah, I think, and it was like super badass Cobra Commander, like, he had, like, his, like, face mask thing and stuff.
The sequence of Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes was great, because you got to see, like, the background story. Very efficient.
Yeah.
You know? It wasn't like the movie, where it was, like, awkward... You know,
weird, like, first kids fighting each other to death.
I did not care for that beginning story, where it's just, like, young Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow.
Yeah. Doesn't Snake Eyes, like, actually murder Storm Shadow in Resolute? Because
he, like, head punches him, but then if you watch during the credits, like, at the end, you see the grave and it's dug out.
Okay.
So, like, somehow Storm Shadow survived that, like, head punch.
Because I remember, like, the sort of, like, the basis for, like, their rivalry was that Storm Shadow wanted to learn, like, the final, like...
The something steps to heaven or something like that?
Yeah, and, like, it was... There was, like, four steps, and then if you learn the fifth one, you could, like, murder someone with, like, just, like, five moves.
Yeah, but, like, efficiently, the last step is punching someone in the head really fucking hard. Which, and that was the trick. Anyway, yeah. Like, you couldn't, like, do that. Like, you forgot the last step. It's like, you could have guessed at that point what the last step was. And it was, oh, the most obvious. Punch him in the head.
Stab them with your sword.
It's like, the first two steps are horrifying because it's like, you pretty much, like, stall them. And the fourth step is, like, I think you, like, push them, like, away. So that the fifth step, you run at them with a head punch.
Yeah.
It was something that, like, it was overly complicated. And a gun can solve that really easily. Ninja techniques.
Now they're going to be, like, running along cliffs and stuff, and they have, like, crazy motorcycles with machine guns on them. And you can, like, start, like, I think they showed, like, Snake Eyes, like, blocking bullets with his sword, or, like, at least blocking, like, ninja stars with his sword.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool to introduce the rival ninja clan Because in the comics, it was like two or three rival ninja clans, and like the Red Ninjas were like always his number one rivals. That if the movie they try to introduce it, I'm hoping they don't make it like retarded. And I was like, oh, these are under ninjas. They're red.
Well, isn't
they're rivals.
Well, it's like the rivals are yellow. And then is it because Jinx is the Red Ninja, isn't she?
Her like costume is red. She's not actually part of that clan. At least I don't hope so, like in this version.
Yeah.
And plus Jinx was in the other movie, like in the first movie. She was barely like useful.
Was she in the first movie?
Yep. She was that chick with the invisible like
thing. Short for like 2 seconds and then never
Right. And it's like, oh, they have invisible clothes. Cool.
Basically Brendan Fraser's cameo was a more significant character than her.
Oh man, I forgot Brendan Fraser was in the first movie.
He's like Colonel something.
Colonel Stone.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Stone. Actually, Lieutenant Stone's a pivotal character in one of the G.I. Joe series now. Like either Renegade or Sigma Six.
Well, Sigma Six was like canceled a while ago, but that was like a midnight. I think that was like early 2000 show.
Well, I didn't watch it. Like. It sucks because, like, oh, if you like a series and try to support it in every iteration, it's just, like, last two. I was like, no, we'll die.
What about G.I. Joe Extreme?
I watched the first two episodes of that.
G.I. Joe Extreme!
And then I could not wake up to watch it on like, again.
Like, everyone's just, like, super roided out.
It was, like, the 90s where, like, steroids are getting, like, mass produced and you can just pick it up at any GNC or something. Yeah.
And I was like, so, let's create the most pale imitations of all the characters we could possibly come up with.
They would fuse like four or five different characters into one.
It's leader guy, ninja guy, black guy.
There was a ninja?
There was a ninja guy, yeah.
Oh yeah, there was. He was green.
It was like the poor man's, like, well, we really can't do Snake Eyes, I guess. Or we could, but we don't want to. So let's make up a stupid ninja character.
Man. I just remember the toys were so, like, you can't play with them. They were just chunks of carved... Like, they had no points of accuracy or anything.
They're all basically just, like, Hulk... They're basically just, like, the Hulk figure or something, or...
They couldn't sit right sometimes. Like, they had really extreme poses, so you can't put them in vehicles, right?
Yep.
Oh, man. That was, like, the last toy I ever had. I was like, nope, never again.
So, anyway, so G.I. Retaliation looks pretty awesome. I would say probably my top five for the summer, like most anticipated for the summer. Probably five.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, Avengers, yeah, Dark Knight.
I would say Avengers number one, Dark Knight number two, Expendables 2 number three. And I don't know. I have to think about what the next, like what four would be. And then probably Retaliation. Maybe Retaliation would be four. I don't know, but. I should, like, look at what else is coming out this summer. But there's a ton of shit coming out this summer. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I don't even have a setup yet. I feel like at the end,
maybe,
I'll set
up. Well, we're going to have to do a... maybe next week we should do that. A summer preview.
Yeah, we could do that.
Attempt to do that. So so that's it for trailers. So other news. Actually, speaking of... We were talking about CinemaCon that happened earlier this week. There's actually a ton of Pixar news because Disney actually did a presentation. At CinemaCon, talking about all their upcoming stuff. So they announced a couple of, they gave more info about one of their upcoming movies and then actually revealed another movie. So they actually gave a little bit more details about Wreck-It Ralph. Have you heard about this one, Chris? Because it seems right up your alley.
Oh man, I am excited
Pixar
for that.
Pixar basically doing an homage to every video game ever. Like all the old Genesis and NES era. Which, So I think the premise is, like, John C. Reilly is going to be voicing this character called Wreck-It Ralph, who's a bad guy in one of the, like, an old-school video game, and he decides he doesn't want to be the bad guy anymore, so he just sets off to, like, try to figure out, like find out if he can become a hero. And he, like, basically journeys to other games and, like, makes his way to, like, other games and, like, meets other game characters.
The concept is really cool.
Yeah.
Because I think I would play a game on it, and I would definitely watch the movie. So
I think they're actually going to – it's going to be, like, 8-bit, like, style, I think.
I'm a fan of 8-bit cartoons. Like, the only cartoon series I was like that was Code Monkeys.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I love, but, like, apparently no one It was a series on G4, back when G4 actually used to be good. So
they started showing Cops for 10 hours a day?
Like the college, and like the campus police?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So actually, the awesome thing they revealed about Wreck-It Ralph at the CinemaCon is that there's going to be like Roger Rabbit-style cameos from like different video, like actual video game characters, like Mario and Sonic, other like Nintendo characters and Sega characters and stuff like that. So that would be awesome. Like if they do like a Mario and Sonic moment, like when they did like the Bugs Bunny, was it Bugs Bunny and Mickey? I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Donald Daffy.
Donald Daffy piano duel. Yeah.
Unfortunately, the Mario and Sonic thing was very like, you know, came together in Super Smash Brothers Brawl.
But yeah.
I'd
like to see like older characters, like if they bring some like older characters back, like or like more obscure characters.
Yeah. That'd be cool. There hasn't been like a Roger Rabbit type movie in a long, long time, so. Well, because it just, like, abuses the shit out of franchises. It'll blend, like, 4 or 5 different franchises together.
Yeah. I can't remember which one it was, but I know they're talking about, there's a movie coming out that's going to be, like, a live-action CG blend.
Like, Cool World?
Yeah, but it's going to be, like, CG characters. I'm going to pull up the news of Shotgun from last week and see, because I never wrote about it last week. Oh, yeah, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride is going to be... They're doing a Mr. Toad's Wild Ride movie.
I remember the first cartoon short was really, like, simple.
Yeah.
And then they made the freaking ride. Yeah. And then they tore the ride down.
Well, I think isn't it still there? It's still in Disneyland, isn't it?
No. It's not. They made them all into, like, Pooh Bear rides.
Oh, I think they did, like, they made a little, like, it was, like, Little Mermaid, I think they actually did, because I know that's, like, one of the newest Disneyland rides, the Little Mermaid Journey or something. Yeah, Mr. Toad was, like, super, like, that was, like, everyone considered that, like, one of the top 5, like, Disney rides of all time. Because you're like, you went to freaking hell at the end of the ride. Mr. Toad basically died in a car crash and ended up in hell.
Yeah, he kept, like, pleading with friends and stuff, and he kept just, like, he wasn't even drunk. He would just ride recklessly.
I can't drive my car, I'm a frog! Or a toad. Whichever.
And in the end, he, like, hits something. Yeah. I think he hits, like, a tunnel, head on in another car or something, but he goes to hell or something.
Yeah. Which, that's a little dark for a Disneyland ride.
Yeah, and especially when it's a freaking Ford, like a T-Ford or something.
Model T?
Model T, there you go. Model T that just, like, just there's no safety, so you die.
So, yeah, so Wreck-It, I think that's coming out, I think that might be, like, next year's Pixar movie, maybe. It's definitely, like, at least 1 or 2 years off, but definitely sounds awesome. And then the other Disney movie they talked about was Lee Unkrich, who directed Toy Story 3, and I think a couple other Pixar movies, is going to be making a movie called Día de los Muertos for
Day of the Dead.
Yes, it's going to be Day of the Dead movie with like skeleton people.
Man, Mexico would be proud.
Which, I mean, that was already there, something similar already happened with Grim Fandango. For the old PC LucasArts game. So that's probably going to be like a 2014 or 2015 Pixar movie. So that's a while off. They just announced like, yeah, we're going to do this movie called Day of the Dead. Day of the Dead.
It's going to be awesome. You should see it. Skeleton. All right, bye.
Yeah. Twister 2 guys directing it. So so that's Pixar news. And then I think they also announced that they're doing, like, some sort of dinosaur movie they've had in development for, like, years. They've had, like, concept art for it for, like, since, like, 2000.
Everyone loves dinosaur movies.
It's, like, a kid and his pet dinosaur.
You know, I haven't seen... I remember in the 90s, there was a lot of weird dinosaur movies. Besides, you know, like, the...
Like, We're Back.
Yeah, oh my god, We're Back? The miniature dinosaurs?
Well, they were... They got abducted by aliens, and then they got super smart, because they were, like, just the aliens gave him, like, super intelligence. They became, like, wacky characters, like, wacky, like, Dom DeLuise or something was voice one or something like that. And they
came,
like,
no, friends. I've got this other movie where, like, I actually have this on VHS. I forgot what it's called.
Is it?
It's, like, this kid in suburbia who finds, like, 3 dinosaur eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, he somehow hatches them. And then they're all, like, miniature dinosaurs.
Hmm.
It's a totally, like, 90s movie.
Do you remember Dino City? Or Adventures in Dino City?
Yeah. Yep.
I think there's also one, I think it was, like, I can't remember what it was, but, like, there's, like, they find, like the last, like, the last Apatosaurus or something in, like, South America. I don't know. There's also, like, Carnosaur. There's so many. Like, after Jurassic Park came out, just, like, everyone was making dinosaur movies.
Well, like, they weren't making good dinosaur movies.
No, they
were.
But...
like, I remember,
there's some dinosaurs in there.
Even Disney did, like, their own. Remember Dinosaur?
Yep.
Their very unoriginal title
their
for
first,
a dinosaur
like,
movie.
Their first non-Pixar CG movie.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Pixar makes us CG movies. It's like, you kind of do.
God. I'm trying to think of this damn movie. It's going to haunt me. It's such a shit movie. But I liked it at the time because it was cool to think. It was, like, before Pokemon.
Yeah.
Before, like, having her own monster. It was just like, oh, I have a cute dinosaur. And, like, they were easy to maintain. And someone wanted to steal them. Like, every kid's movie, if you have something cool, there's always someone in the world trying to steal that.
Mm-hmm. So, other news from last week or this week is, have you heard of the... webcomic Axe Cop, Chris?
No.
Okay. So it's basically it's this guy who's a comic artist, and he has a little brother, like a 5-year-old brother, or he's like 10 now, but when he started he was 5. And basically he just asks his little brother, like, hey, help me write this comic book. Like, well, I'll draw whatever the hell you talk, whatever you tell me to draw, I'll draw it and make it a comic. So this kid, basically, like, his little brother basically came up with this character called Axe Cop, who's a cop with an axe. His partner's a dinosaur with machine gun arms. And so they just go around fighting, like, crazy things.
Yeah, you know, I think I might have heard this, but... I mean, I didn't know, like, they were actually doing anything serious with it.
Yeah, actually, Fox is going to be turning it into a TV show. Because I guess they're doing a new... Not just Sunday, but they're doing, actually, like, Saturday animation block now. Or, like, sometime in the near future. So we're going to have Sunday and Saturday for animated shows?
Sunday would actually be an appropriate time to do cartoon shows these days. But, man.
Well, they have, like, what do they have on Saturday besides Cops? That's it.
Yeah, like, there are no good Saturday morning cartoon shows for kids anymore.
No, it's going to be, like, an Adult Swim on Fox.
Oh!
It's going to be, like, a late night block of animated shows. I think it's going into, like, the old Mad TV slot.
I don't even know what's on, like, Fox anymore around 11. I just, like, Fringe.
Well, no, it's like, local. that only goes to, like, 11. Like, it's, like, local, whatever, Seinfeld reruns or whatever the hell, whatever Fox local affiliate wants to show. Like, I think, like, Saturday is, like, the only day where they have, like, actual, like, stuff scheduled out to past 10. But anyway, so Axe Cop is gonna be the first show they announced for this new block of shows they're gonna do. So other news, actually speaking of animated stuff, Robert Rodriguez is gonna be remaking the animated movie Fire and Ice, which was a Ralph Belschke like Conan movie from like the '80s.
Yeah, I don't remember this movie at all.
It's actually on Netflix right now. It's basically Conan, but animated. From the guy who did, like, the Lord of the Rings animated movies.
Oh, man. I can't watch that movie more than, like, once.
And
it is so hard to pay attention.
And, like, I think, like, Warlords or, like, Wizards or something was another one he did. Where it was, like, crazy. He did a bunch of, like, crazy fantasy movies, animated fantasy movies. Like, there's one with, like, Nazi orcs. It was, like, basically World War II with, like, Nazi orcs and elves fighting each other. on like a World War II battlefield. So that's going to be his, Robert Rodriguez's next project after Sin City 2 and Machete Kills. And I think he also said he's going to try to like film both those at the same time. Like Machete and Sin City at the same time.
Oh, man. Just, can you just like finish one project before he does another one?
Well, I think like he does stuff pretty fast. Like, he's one of like the fastest directors in Hollywood. They just like crank him out. So, let's see what else we got here. Well, actually, we got some casting news for Iron Man 3. And actually, Guy Pearce is going to be in Iron Man 3.
Yeah, just like his career is coming back. So, like, yeah, I'm doing this.
And I think one thing I don't think we've talked about this before, but I guess Iron Man 3 is going to be based on Extremis, the storyline. Have you read that one, Chris?
I was trying to see the webcomic of it, like the Netflix movie of
it. It's basically like the turning point where like Iron Man became like actually got superpowers because like he injected himself with this nanovirus that let him he stored like the inner like his gold inner like suit lining in his skin, and then he changed his brain so he could like tap into like all the satellite, like basically every electronic on Earth.
So I know about the post extremist part.
So we could like tap in like satellites, and he also like summoned this Iron Man suit anywhere in the world to him. Just by like thinking about it, and then like also since it was like wired to his brain now, it was like he was like faster and like better reflexes and basically just like super like basically Iron Man 2.0.
It's like they're eliminating weird weaknesses of his character to just make him like more efficient, but it's like as a like story, it just gets weird because it's like, oh, what's his like flaw? It's like, well, we can start drinking again.
Well, because the whole thing is like this: there's like this guy who got injected with the extremist virus, and he just like basically kicks the shit out of Tony in his like old armor. He's not fast enough to stop him because like this guy has like crazy reflexes and crazy strength, so. He gets to, like, figure out a way to defeat him, so he's like, I'm going to inject myself with the virus, too, and make myself even faster.
So Iron Man goes for techno-steroids.
Yeah, basically. So Guy Pearce is going to be, like, one of I think, based on, like, the character that they said he's going to be playing, and based on, like, Extremis, he's going to be, like, one of the guys who develops Extremis. Like, one of the scientists at the facility that invents it.
Oh, Guy Pearce is a scientist. How original.
Isn't that what he's playing in Prometheus?
Yep.
He's like Wayland. He's one of the Waylands or something.
At least he's not like a Wayland. Like, I know like in the games and stuff, like, What's-His-Face is always the same character. He's always a Wayland.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and they don't explain why they all look alike. They just are.
they're all like Lance Henriksen, basically.
Yep.
Because he was like the original one from our time.
Well, he was like the old dying one in Alien vs. Predators.
Yeah.
And then he was an android.
They based it on him.
Right. And then there's a Waylon again that's just Lance Henriksen, human.
Yeah.
And then if you play like the games, he's in it again as himself, as Waylon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like Wayland 4 or something like that.
I cloned myself.
It is what I do.
So, and then, I think they also cast Jessica Chastain in Iron Man 3 as like basically the other scientist who invented Extremis.
Oh, a hot scientist? Why not?
Mm-hmm.
How original.
And then, in other casting news, we actually learned that, Gina Carano is going to be in Fast 6.
Oh, God.
Maybe taking the place of Michelle Rodriguez.
But isn't Michelle Rodriguez in Fast 6?
Oh, yeah. They realize she's not dead.
Yeah, I don't know how she's not dead.
Well, we don't actually see her die. We get Dom's, like, CSI vision of what happened.
He fucked up somewhere where there's, like, the lack of evidence of a dead body and stuff.
Well, he just, like, he, like, sniffs, like, the tire treads on the street and, like, touches them. Like, he sees, like, the vision of, like, what happened.
Or is that what really happened?
I guess not. And they're possibly, like, I assume, like, everyone from the Fast Five, too, still back, like The Rock and everything.
Yeah, man, probably, can they just make I really hope it's after Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift. I really hope they do a movie that's no Han.
Where it's like, man, doesn't it suck what happened to Han?
Yeah. I don't mind that kid from the white kid from Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift.
Oh, bring him back. Hmm? Well, they should bring Bow Wow back.
Wasn't he in the third movie?
No, he was. Wasn't he the buddy in Tokyo Drift?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't in. That's the only one he was in.
And
they brought Luda back. He was in two.
Luda's back, yeah. But he's like a sophisticated gangster now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just bring Bow.
Wasn't Ludacris in the first one?
He was in two, and then he was in five.
No, I meant like not Ludacris. Busta Rhymes.
No.
Why do I think Busta Rhymes is one of them?
I don't think there was a black guy in the first one. Because two had like Tyrese and Ludacris.
Alright, well, I'm gonna look this up. Go on.
You think there was like a rapper or something
Yeah.
in Furious?
Yeah, each movie had to have a rapper or something.
I know, because like, I don't remember if they had like a rap theme song for the first Fast Furious. I know, because Luda did like, Act the Fool for two. Anyway.
Ja Rule was in the first one.
He was?
Yep. I remember, like, someone was in it that was, like, a rapper. Like, Ja Rule was in the first Fast and the Furious.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember. He was, like, one of the... Wasn't he in, like, the first... He was, like, when Brian first gets to, like, the...
The meat?
The meat, and then, like... It's like, oh, yeah, I'm a street racer. Don't let my jeans and t-shirt fool you.
Don't let my Californian good looks fool all you East LA
yeah.
racers. And then, yeah, because like these the sluts racing. Are like, hey, if you win this race, we'll have a threesome with you. And he's like, hell yeah. And he loses, and he doesn't get a threesome.
Yes, yeah, I remember him now. Yep.
You remember?
Yep.
Pretty memorable scene.
Mm-hmm. And then he went on to Half Past Dead.
And then he fell off the face of the earth.
He did that horrible song where he actually tried to singing, and then...
I hope... Was it a ballad?
Yeah.
Oh my
God. It was,
God.
Like, with, like, Ashanti or something.
Was it I Don't Want to Be a Gangster?
Maybe. I just remember the video was, like, they meant, like, a carnival. It was, like, Greece. They were reenacting Greece, but it was, like, Ja Rule and Ashanti.
That's the total demographic of Greece.
Mm-hmm. All right, so anyway, that's it for news, unless there's anything else you saw, Chris.
Not really.
Okay, so let's get into the newest roundup. We can wrap this thing up. Pick of the week is going to be Patton Oswalt's latest comedy special, Finest Hour. Apparently, there's a bit where he talks about how Jesus should be in the X-Men.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Or like, if Jesus was around now, he'd be an X-Man.
Okay. I don't know. There's a lot of X-Men and Jesus jokes, but
mm-hmm.
I gotta hear it first, you know.
Yeah, I gotta download the MP3 version of it or something. But Patton Oswalt and like pretty much every album he's put out is awesome. So, and sort of in that same vein, there's a new Paul F. Tompkins special too, Laboring Under Delusions, which. His last album was so freaking great, Freak Wharf. There's like he goes off in like this entire bit of like this horrible like 70s like drug scare book that called Go Ask Alice. It's basically the only reason you're written to like scare kids away from doing drugs. And he basically just like goes off on how stupid it is.
It probably encouraged kids. It's like look how cool you are when you're on drugs.
Yeah, he keeps going off. There's like this one part where like he's like. Man, did LSD today. It was crazy. I can't wait tomorrow to do weed. he just goes off like this whole thing of like how it's probably just old white people, just like old white guys, just like trying to like write like how kids write.
How do the youth talk?
Yeah, exactly. Where the kids hang out? Like freak wharf. Yeah, that sounds like something kids would say. So those are both out. I think they're both on Comedy Central actually last Saturday too. So also we have Contraband, the Mark Wahlberg heist movie from January.
No, man.
I believe I gave it like 2.5 stars because it wasn't that good.
I believe I gave it a no.
You gave it a no. It should be way. It takes itself a little bit way too seriously. It should be way more fun than it is for a heist movie.
Like I don't even know. I just saw the trailer and I just knew everything I needed to know about that movie. It's like he used to be a drug runner or something, a smuggler. And someone's like, "Hey, come do this last job," and he's like, "I'm gonna do this last job," yeah, and he gets betrayed.
Last job.
Well, then he gets betrayed.
Crazy Cajun Giovanni Ribisi is gonna murder your wife with his crazy accent.
And he's like, "Hey,
say goodbye to your wife."
Oh man, it's just like, doesn't it play out like opposite Gone in 60 Seconds?
It's basically the same thing as Gone in 60 Seconds, but less fun. Because there's not even like any like none of the characters that even like crazy. They don't even have like crazy like characteristics. They're just like all the generic, generic boring white guy. Like, there's not a crazy guy. There's not like a gadget guy. There's not like a demolition guy. It's just like I drive a van and we work on this boat. So I would say skip that one unless you're like a super hardcore fan of Mark Wahlberg.
In that case, seek help.
Yes. So also this week we have The Innkeepers, which is the latest movie from Ty West, who I think it was House of the Devil was the last movie he did. It's pretty I think it was a really well received horror movie. It's like people were saying it was like very much like a 70s horror movie. And I remember it came out, they had like a special edition of it, but it came like in like, you got a VHS copy of it and a DVD copy of it. So this one is like, this couple, like, I think they either buy or they're like staying in this like really creepy inn and like ghosts start, like, really horrible things are happening. So, also we have Titanic, the miniseries from last week on ABC. It's on DVD now.
Cool.
Trade Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet for Toby Jones and other people. I think it's like 5 hours long, maybe. At least three, I know. But I think it was two nights, and it was like 3 hours on Saturday, and I think it was like 2 hours on Sunday. So I think it's like 5 or 6 hours long. Which is probably more than enough Titanic for anyone.
Yeah, if you're like such a big Titanic buff, you're just like you're in a museum. You're not watching the movie.
I don't know what else you need to know about the Titanic.
I mean, it's not like there's new evidence. It's kind of like it's there.
It sank. Here's how it sank.
So I would have loved a different perspective of the Titanic instead of like Jack and Rose.
That's what this is. It's like different. It's like I think it's like a wide variety of characters, like the captain, or like at least a couple like the officers, and then there's like rich people and poor people.
Yeah, I imagine they redid Titanic in 3D, except it's like
new characters.
All of what's his face? What's Rose's like original fiance?
Billy Zane.
Billy Zane's view. Oh my god.
Yes.
I'm like, where's my girlfriend?
God, he is such a huge douchebag in that movie. It's great. The only thing I can think of whenever someone says Billy Zane is like that Zoolander, where he's like, where like Derek's like, "Zip it, Zane."
Well, see, I will always remember Zane from The Phantom. So
I always think of him Sniper, where he just went crazy and tried to kill Tom Berenger.
He had no enough reason. Of the jungle. He got sick of the jungle. Yeah, he lied about his sniping ability.
Yeah, he took credit for that machine gunner guy's kill.
I mean, it's kind of obvious that the machine gunner guy killed him, and he's like, yeah, I did it.
It's
me.
I think the machine gunner guy got killed, though, by like a stray bullet, and he's like, yeah,
the machine gunner killed the dude on the mountain. The mountain, it's like they both killed each other, but the machine gunner left machine gun-sized bullets in the guy. And it's like, Billy Zane, your rifle did that? He's like,
yeah. Did you hear it? I shot him.
Like, do they not know what a sniper wound looks like?
Yeah. So, anyway, moving on to other stuff. We have Marvel anime out this week, Iron Man and X-Men.
No Wolverine.
Wolverine was so horrible. They're all pretty stupid. It's like, we have to figure out a way to get the Marvel characters to Japan. Let's figure out the stupidest way possible to get them to Japan. It's like, I think for Iron Man, he opened up a new office in Japan. And they're like, I'm just going to stay here now. I opened this new office, I'm just going to hang out here now in Japan. Maybe, give the Japanese government some Iron Man suits. Train these Japanese army guys to operate the suits. So, let's see. Also, this week we have Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, the original miniseries with Alec Guinness.
Wow, I didn't know it was based on an original thing. Like, you mentioned this last time that it was like a novel, and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And then it's like.
So it was like a PBC miniseries. With Alec Guinness in the Gary Oldman role as George Smiley. And then we also have Dark Tide, which is a direct-to-DVD Halle Berry movie, which looks like across a combination of Into the Blue and Open Water.
Oh God!
It's like surfing with sharks, or like diving, and then there's like sharks involved somehow. The only redeeming quality is it looks like Halle Berry's in a bikini the entire movie, so it's got that going for it, I guess.
Yeah, swordfish, tits.
Yeah.
The world can move on now.
Mm-hmm. We also have Let the Bullets Fly, which is a Chow Yun-Fat movie. I don't know, is that an older movie, Chris, you know? You're a Chow Yun-Fat expert.
I am, but I'm more of a John Woo Chow Yun-Fat guy.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
I'm not sure.
It says collector's edition on here, so I don't know if it's an older movie or if it's a new one. Let me look it up quick. Let the Bullets Fly. Oh no, it's from 2010. Okay, so. Yeah, that's a couple years ago. I never heard of it. I wonder if they just recent Asia, they just they're just sort of seeing it now and everywhere else.
Finally, to America.
Mm-hmm. So we also have Pony Express coming out this week. It's a Charlton Heston Western. I'm assuming about the Pony Express. And then we also have 11-11-11 coming out this week.
I just remember that's the same date as The Immortals.
Yeah, I think it only came out in a couple theaters. And it was
big hype because it was oh look, 11-11-11 on 11-11-11, and then the movie came out and people totally forgot about it.
What was he even think? What was it would open a gate to hell or something?
I thought it was about a monster.
Yeah, I don't even know why people thought 11-11-11 was gonna be some horrible date.
I don't know. It's just it's freaky numbers that coincidentally line up just freak the shit out of people.
Yeah. But I think it's from. Either producers or directors of Saw. I don't know which one.
By people who saw Saw.
Yes. And then we also have coming out this week, The Wicker Tree, which is the sequel to the original Wicker Man, the Christopher Lee one.
Yay.
That's the Nicolas Cage classic.
Though, can you imagine an awesome sequel to the modern Wicker Man?
Oh my God. Imagine if Nicolas Cage's character survived and he was, burned.
He's Ghost Rider.
Yes! Oh my God, yes.
That's a connection. Boom! Blew you away.
How did I get burned? Me and my chains. Take this, you bitches.
I pee on you. We'll be on fire.
So, so last thing's come out this week, we have Ultimate Avengers 1 and 2 in a convenient Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Have you seen that, Chris? Ultimate Avengers? Oh.
I've read the comics, but I didn't watch the movie.
It's, I mean, before, like, Avengers vs. Mightiest Heroes came out, I would have said it's the best Avengers animated thing. Now that Avengers vs. Mightiest Heroes is out, it's kind of crappy. Like, all the characters are just, like, huge dicks in it. Like, none of them are really likable at all. And they don't really establish, like, who any of them are. Just, like, even though they spend, like, the first hour of the movie building, like, trying to recruit everyone to the team.
And there's no, like, reason of what their powers are. Just, you're in.
No, they're just like, Iron Man, you should join our team. He's like, no. And then, like, they don't even get together to, like, fight together to, like, the last 20 minutes. And they're fighting, like, the weird aliens. Which, I mean, they're the aliens from, like, the Ultimate Comics. Like, the Shirathi or whatever, I think they're called. Like, they shapeshifted and stuff. They infiltrated different people. I think Captain America, like, stabs one in half with the shield at one point.
Cool.
In the comics, actually, not in the movie.
Oh.
And then you can get a couple of the other Marvel anime movies on another Blu-ray. You can get Planet Hulk, Invincible Iron Man, and Doctor Strange in a Blu-ray pack.
Yeah, I saw that on Netflix, too.
Yeah, I think they're all on Netflix, basically. Like, pretty much every animated Marvel movie is on Netflix now. Planet Hulk was pretty good. Doctor Strange is pretty good. Invincible Iron Man was so stupid. Just because they like moved his entire origin to, like, he got, like, he was in China or something.
Well, they try to make it more modern instead of being in, like, Vietnam. So, I mean, not too modern, because I know, like, in the movie he was in, like, the Middle East.
Yeah. But he's in, like, I don't know, he's giving, like, a weapons demonstration in China or something, and then, like, they attack, like, he ends up in, like, some weird monastery or something, or he gets killed by, like, the dragon spirit or something. I don't know. It was really crazy. And then, like, Mandarin ends up.
Well, think about it. You can't really introduce the Mandarin, you know, without an Asian.
Well, yeah, I think Fing Fang Foom show up or something, like the giant dragon?
I didn't watch the movie.
Or was that Doctor Strange? I don't know. Yeah, it might be Doctor Strange. I think Fing Fang Foom is like a Doctor Strange villain.
Yeah. Because Iron Man taking a... You think about Iron Man against a dragon?
Yeah. Well, I know it was... Like, the crazy was, like... At the end, it was, like... He wasn't even, like... He's not even, like, in the Iron Man armor for, like, the last battle. He's just, like, in, like, the sewers. And, like, with, like, the Japanese love interest who, like, got possessed by, like, the dragon spirit or something. It was like crazy ninja battle. It wasn't even like Iron Man battle. It was like Tony Stark's a ninja somehow now.
Cool. That's totally what his character would be.
Yeah. So that's it for new releases this week. Check out the Paul Tompkins and Patton Oswalt stuff, and then everything else is kind of meh. So, I think that's going to do it for this week's show, unless there's anything else you could think of to talk about, Chris.
Nope. Not right now. Play more time. We can think about it.
Okay. So, if you want more from us, you go to www.everythingaction.com for news, reviews, features, trailers, reviews of Lockout, and hopefully Cabin in the Woods are going to be up. Lockout's definitely up. I'm probably going to write Cabin in the Woods after we get the recording. So it should be up by the time you hear this, thanks to the magic of time travel.
Ooh.
And just all of our other regular features. Actually, exciting musical montage this week. We feature the video for Bruce Willis's Respect Yourself.
From the Return of Bruno.
Which I actually have as an album. The actual vinyl. And all the trailers we talked about today on the episode, you can go check them out on the site. And then all of our other regular features. I think hopefully I'm going to get that our new my feature about like all the all these horrible action movies I'm watching on this 20 film action pack. I'm going to try to do some sort of article about like each of them maybe. And I don't know, anything coming from you soon, Chris?
The Zen of, where I play a bunch of games and try to find life lessons from the things that these games are trying to teach me.
Okay.
So far, I've, like, reviewed 6 games that I just haven't, like... It's like they're all, like, scattered on a piece of paper that I need to compile and add pictures to.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be coming up soon.
Anything from Joe?
Actually, I don't know. He has, like, 2 different ideas of what he wants to do. I have to ask. I guess when he's back on, mm-hmm. I'm just going to ask him later.
And you can also, every Monday, check out Brian's continuing recap of this current season of Mad Men. You can find out who the maddest man of the week is. And also, hopefully, you checking the site next week, because we're thinking about doing another of our fabulous Everything Action movie commentaries. Which would probably, this edition is going to be Under Siege, the Steven Seagal classic.
Bum, bum, bum.
So yeah, so keep checking that out. And then come to the site every day for all sorts of awesome stuff. And you can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/everything.action is our Facebook page. You can like us on there. See stuff that we find from the web, news articles or videos or whatnot. We put them on the Facebook page. And you can see stuff from the site as they go up on the site. You can follow them on the Facebook page. And comment and like them and stuff on there, whatever you do on Facebook. And watch us on Twitter, twitter.com/EVAction, our Twitter account. You can follow us on there. We retweet a bunch of like news articles from Twitter that we find, funny quotes or whatever we find on there. We retweet those. You can see stuff from the site as they go up on our Twitter account as well. Sometimes we live blog movies that we're watching and have been on Twitter at the same time. So keep following the Twitter account for that. You never know when that's going to pop up. And we're also on iTunes. If you want to go to the iTunes Music Store, search for Everything in Action. You can subscribe to the podcast, rate us, leave comments. Reviews. Throw us a couple. Give us some reviews if you're on there and you have like spare couple minutes. Ones or fives, you don't really care. Fives would be good, but we don't. If you would think it's a one, let us know and why. And also on the iTunes Music Store is our app you can download for your iPhone or iPod Touch. It's free. You get the last 20 news stories on the site. You can listen to the podcast on there as well. So if you download that, you have an iPhone or an iPod Touch. And you can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. So for Joe and Chris, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.